Dear participants, thank you for standing by. Welcome to DSM's conference call. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To register for questions, you may dial star one at any time. Now I would like to turn the call over to Lieke de Jong. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Welcome to this conference call on DSM's full year and Q4 2020 results, which we published earlier this morning. I have both Geraldine Matchett and Dimitri de Vreeze, co-CEOs of DSM, on the line. Dimitri will talk you through the direction of our business and our performance, and then both Dimitri and Geraldine are available to answer your questions. We have 30 minutes this morning as usual, so until 8:30. As a reminder, today's call could contain forward-looking statements, so I must point out a disclaimer regarding forward-looking statements as published on our website and in our press releases. And following the announcement end of last year about the proposed sale of our resins and functional materials business to Covestro, we will be talking about our continuing operations, unless said otherwise. I'd now like to hand over the call to Dimitri. Dimitri, please go ahead.
Thank you, Lieke, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to our full year results 2020 media call, and I hope you and those you care about remain well. 2020 was definitely an extraordinary year, as we all know, and one which presented significant operational challenges. Yet, throughout, we were determined to keep on delivering our customers, and we are proud that we were able to do so. And thanks to the commitment and resourcefulness of all our colleagues around the world. As much as COVID has changed how we work, we stopped us from spending time face-to-face, and we do now everything via calls or Teams. We've also seen how robust DSM's long-term strategy and performance has been in these past years. The calm amidst the storm, where the strategy was our compass. And against this backdrop, and despite a strong negative foreign exchange effect, we delivered solid results. Nutrition performed well with a 6% organic growth and a 7% step up in EBITDA. Then on human nutrition and health, we saw dietary supplements and pharma very strong, in particular as COVID-19 drove strong consumer demand for immunity-optimizing products. And we all hope that you took your dietary supplements this morning. And in animal nutrition and health, we saw good sales growth in poultry with increased demand as COVID-19 lockdowns triggered higher demand for easy-to-prepare proteins. Pork saw good demand with China picking up as the effects of the African swine fever receded. Our materials business was negatively impacted by the pandemic, with volumes down 6% for the year. Altogether, our adjusted EBITDA was flat, nearly flat, at minus 1%, and our adjusted net operating free cash flow was strong, and it was up 19%. Looking more specifically at quarter four, our business performed in line with our expectation, despite the increasingly negative foreign exchange effect. Nutrition saw very good conditions and delivered a 9% organic growth with a 10% increase in EBITDA, coming from animal nutrition, human nutrition, and food specialties, as well as a gradual recovery in personal care. Materials saw a strong recovery in quarter four with volumes up 14%, driven mainly by automotive. While we, of course, pleased with this performance, it is too early to tell how much relates to stocking within the automotive value chain and how much relates to sustainable improvement in global car build activity. As for the EBITDA for materials, we saw significant improvement from the minus 13% fall in Q3 to a minus 10% in Q4 versus prior year. While global uncertainty remains, looking ahead, we have a positive outlook for DSM for 2021, and let me share you why. It is about the strength of our long-term strategy with focus on nutrition, health, and sustainable living. And our strategy aligns unique competences to our purpose. And our expertise is in the science of how nutritional ingredients can ensure better health for people and animals, as well in how to enhance the health of the planet through sustainably produced food, along with more circular and bio-based materials. We call it health through nutrition. And this continues to be a defining issue. COVID-19 has magnified the global problems that already existed, and this issue will continue beyond this pandemic. If you were able to join our virtual investor event we held late last year, you would have heard this talk about how the industrialization of food has led to a disconnect between what we eat and what our bodies need. Producing at scale has created lots of food for many, but not for everyone. And it comes at the expense of the planet as well, as ill health links to overconsumption. As such, we face many challenges at individual, societal, and environmental levels, all caused by the lack of balanced nutrition and an imbalanced food production system. We've seen shifting customer needs during 2020, but the trend towards people being more proactive about their health, such as with dietary supplements, is clear in our financial results. It also confirmed by our own market insights that indicate that immunity became a leading consumer health concern in 2020, with 65% of people saying that they were either worried or very worried about their immune status. That's why, with our scientific expertise, we are expanding our innovation pipeline with new immunity solutions, such as AmpliD. Fast evolving evidence suggests an association between vitamin D status and sensitivity to viral infections like COVID-19. However, it can take up to several months for a person to reach an optimal vitamin D status. And our AmpliD helps raise that vitamin D level 3 to 5 times faster compared to vitamin D3. The planet needs answers too, as food production is the second largest contributor to climate change. And from a science and technology point of view, there is so much we can do, and we have the responsibility to address these challenges. Let me give you one example. Look at the recent Dutch trial results for our feed additives Bovaer, which shows we can cut methane emissions from dairy cows between 27 to 40%. It's the latest in a lot of research that shows that Bovaer can swiftly make a big difference in reducing this critical greenhouse gas. We are also teaming up with the dairy cooperative Fonterra to accelerate the transition to lower methane agriculture. Technological developments mean we can now process and analyze large and complex data sets with unprecedented precision and speed. And we have only just started to unravel the importance of personalized nutrition. Going forward, nutrition will maintain strong growth by adding a third leg to our unique business model: global products, local solutions, precision and personalization, using big data, digital, and bioscience capabilities. Against the global backdrop of COVID-19, we have been busy building the foundations that will shape DSM for the future. We've completed 3 acquisitions to broaden our portfolio for a sum of almost $2 billion. And we've also changed how we organize ourselves to be closer to our customer and better able to respond rapidly to their needs. We announced our platform-based approach to driving innovation, resulting in a healthy pipeline of new products and solutions. And we've also agreed our resins and functional materials businesses would benefit from the relevant scale and capability of Covestro. And we expect this transaction to conclude in the first half of 2021. Ultimately, our strategy has served us really well as we continue to grow organically and to further improve the quality of our businesses. We could not have made this progress without the passion, resourcefulness, and commitment of our colleagues. And we are proud of how they also went above and beyond to support their local communities. And with that, with pride and being grateful on what has been achieved in 2020, I would like to open the floor for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. For questions, star 1, go ahead, please. First question is from Mr. Andrew Noel from Bloomberg. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. Just wanted to touch on the materials business there, how you see 2021 panning out, and if you could give a little bit more color on the plans for that business, where you talk about it seems like there's still a little bit of work to do there in terms of the portfolio. And I just wondered, if you could comment on, whether that's, whether the pandemic and what's happened with the automotive industry has led you to rethink, the balance of the portfolio to certain industries. I'll start with that one. Thank you.
Okay, shall I take that one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Then, hi. No, good morning. Good to hear you on the phone. Indeed, to your question. Quarter four, we saw a strong recovery for materials with plus 14% on volume, predominantly related to automotive. We also know that quarter two and quarter three, global car builds were ramped down rapidly, including destocking of the value chain. So we do feel that now with a bit light at the end of the tunnel, these value chains are preparing itself again, certainly in Asia, where we've seen that the recovery already started, but certainly not yet in Europe and the U.S. So part of that recovery we mostly see as a bit of restocking, and part will be maybe extra demand. It's very difficult to exactly indicate how much is this restocking and how much is extra demand. But going into next year, we will certainly see that part of that will continue, but we need to see how that spells out. Therefore, we've also been a bit cautious on our outlook for materials, saying, hey, let's not make a precise number. So the total group is going into double digit with an outlook for nutrition. So that is one. Secondly, what we've seen during COVID-19, that the acceleration to electrification of vehicles has accelerated. So we've seen that the innovation part has accelerated because everything around COVID-19. And obviously, as you may have seen over the last years, we have a very strong position in the automotive industry and in the electronic industry. In our latest strategy a couple of years ago, we said these will merge together. Electronics go to hand in hand with automotive because electronics in the car is absolutely key going forward. And you even see that some of the automotive producers are now hampering their pickup because of lack of electronics. So combining these strengths within DSM, to your point, where did we refocus a little bit? We combined electronics with automotive because we feel that mobility in the broader term is key for the future. So that acceleration we have seen in 2020, to your question, did we refocus a little bit? Not only because of COVID, but we've seen that innovation path where automotive and electrification and electronics come together. We've seen that accelerated during the COVID-19 period.
Oh, okay, so on the ground, does that mean that some production of some materials will? I mean, is it just a little bit of maybe like bottom slicing there? Some materials just you won't be made anymore, or you'll scale back production towards these sort of innovation products.
It's predominantly to do with where you focus your research, development, and innovation activity. So you refocus it into the area of higher growth. One, secondly, you merge where in the past there were maybe two different innovation research people working on two different end markets. You now bring them together. They go be more hand in hand. There's more symbiosis, more synergy to bringing them together. So that's what we've done.
Okay. Oh, thanks very much. I'll come back. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 for question star 1. Go ahead, please. Do you have a question? Mr. Andrew Navarro, go ahead, please.
Oh, hi. Yeah, just stepping back in because in case I don't think anyone came forward, but, cross me off if there's a queue. But so the other question I had was around the resins sale proceeds and how you're thinking about, I guess they're coming in mid-year, I think you said, the uses for that. And it's sort of a colourful question is just around antibiotics in animal health. There's been a bit of coverage about that, obviously on the human side, but you know how does the sort of resistance, the threat of superbugs resilient to animal antibiotics, is that an angle for you at all, or you know how's that playing out with your existing portfolio?
Yeah, thanks very much for that, Geraldine. Here, let me jump in and good morning. Let me start maybe with your financial question. So indeed, we just to put a bit of context, we closed the year with a net debt of about 2.6 billion, which is versus the start of the year, an increase of 1.4 billion, which very much relates to both the fact that we did a few acquisitions. So we deployed about 1.5 billion in acquisitions, which we're very excited about because they're very good strategic fits. And we also completed the share buyback in 2020. So that's a 1.4 billion step up in net debt. Now, you're correct. We will be receiving the proceeds of the divestments, which actually are about 1.4 billion, so about the same number, in the course of H1. Now, the exact date where we will close, we still need to see, and there's still a bit of antitrust clearance going on, but somewhere in the middle of the semester, we should see that come in, which basically brings us back to about this 1.2 billion of net debt, which in the context of our financial policies gives us room for further investments if we find the right assets at the right time, which is nice. Now, to your question on antibiotics, it's a topic that we know very well. And in fact, we have been for many years helping the animal protein industry, so basically the growers of whether it be poultry or pork, etc., to reduce the use of antibiotics in meat production. It's something that's very important because, indeed, there is resistance when it comes to humans, but there can also be resistance when it comes to animals. So we have a lot of innovation focused on this, whether it be the feed enzymes, whether it's eubiotics and probiotics that are used for animals, to really over time enable producers of meat to bring down the use of antibiotics to hopefully nothing, but basically used only in case of a disease, so medication and nothing else. And this has been a big growth driver for the relevance of food. Now, food is not the only answer when it comes to the use of antibiotics. It's also about husbandry. It's about having the right practices around raising animals. But long and short, it's a very important subject more innovation can go towards.
Do you feel like, because these, you know, in humans, they're evolving, so they're not going, obviously they're not going away, and the solutions on the human side seem to be, within the molecule level of the antibiotic rather than probiotics. So I guess my one question is that, obviously people are buying probiotics, but the threat is from viruses that are evolving. And if they're already circulating, that market will always need the pharmaceutical molecule, really, rather than the probiotics. So I guess, on the one hand, farmers could cut antibiotic use, but if these things are already circulating, what's the longer term angle for you? Could you get involved in the sort of pharmaceutical side or move?
That's your question. Okay. No, so we actually in the past we had antibiotics, we had anti-infectives, and it was part of them, and we decided not to continue, and it was divested at one point. So it's something that we've done in the past. It's highly unlikely that we would get back into that. But I think you mustn't underestimate the fact that the overuse of antibiotics, causes this negative vicious circle. So while you're right, antibiotics will always be needed, the overuse creates the fact that there is resistance. So the best thing we can do both for humans and in the animal space is to reduce the chronic use of antibiotics, which then creates this endless need for new molecules to address these mutations in the viruses.
Thanks very much, and that's it from me. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one. There's a question for Jeroen Segha. Go ahead, please. Financiële Dagblad.
Good morning. I have a financial question because you decided to keep the dividend stable. Why is that? Because the outlook is so positive for the company.
Yeah, good morning. So indeed, we decided to keep the dividend stable. What we do is we look back to our dividend policy. So our policy is stable, preferably rising, but we also have a payout ratio of 40 to 50%, which is our broad direction when it comes to dividends. So when we look at 2020, where our nutrition business did very well, but our materials business suffered some more, we see that our net profit is slightly down versus prior year. And with a stable dividend, we will actually be above our 40 to 50% payout. We feel that we're honoring our commitment to our shareholders with this stable dividend, which is on the one hand affordable because we also have a good cash generation, but is also reflective of the kind of year that 2020 has been.
Okay, but you still want to have a progressive dividend payout, or is it just a ratio of 40 to 50%?
Yeah, no, so we still have the guiding principle is stable, preferably rising. And if you look back to the history of DSM, we can proudly look back to the fact that we never went down in dividend, which also means occasionally you have to be a little more prudent with the increases. So we will, at least for the time being, continue to go along the principles of stable, preferably rising. But it is good to keep an eye on the payout ratio because that is where you indicate the healthy balance between reinvesting into the future growth of the company versus distributing, you know, some of the liquidity to shareholders. And here I think we find a very healthy balance.
Okay. Thank you very much.
There's an additional question from Mr. Andrew Newell, Bloomberg. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, sorry, I missed one. This is to you both, whoever wants to answer. You know, you'll be sick of these questions about materials, but, you know, before resins, we announced that resins deal, you know, DSM was sort of saying, no, it's not for sale and it's an integral part. And then, you know, and then obviously there was a knockout offer that came forward. So, you know, I get your commentary about, you know, materials is going to be, you know, is part of the group, but, you know, so was resins until somebody came along with, you know, such an attractive offer. So could you just sort of comment if that's the same sort of situation that, you know, that you're not planning to sell it, but, you know, obviously, if someone wants to pay the right value, then it is, you know, you would divest it.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew, for that question. By the way, I'm not sick and tired about that question. I mean, don't worry. I think the answer is maybe a bit constant, and we basically want to build a company around nutrition, health, and sustainable living. And you know, also DSM. If you look at our 120 years of the past, we always look at strategy and portfolio. We'll continue to do so, and we've done that. To your first question on what do you see on materials and innovation, I think it's a fantastic field to further innovate on creating sustainable living materials. So in that space, there is still a lot to be expected in the coming years. So in that sense, I think our strategy to build a nutrition, health, and sustainable living company based on mega trends is a very consistent one, and that answer you will get from us all the time. But we're not sick and tired about that question. I think we are very proud to give you the answer as we've just formulated.
Okay, yes, thanks. Thank
you. Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any additional questions, please press star one. For additional questions, star one, go ahead, please.
I think, Regina, we're close to closing, so I would like to ask Geraldine to make some closing remarks.
Yeah, thanks, Lieke. So as Dimitri mentioned, I do also want to express how proud we are of our colleagues, without whom we would not have realized these good results in this environment, besides closing three acquisitions, one divestment, and while also delivering against our purpose-led sustainability ambitions in people and in planet. Now, on planet, we are well on track with respect to the greenhouse gas reduction, energy efficiency, and our purchase renewable electricity targets. In terms of people, our safety record is the best we've ever had, and we've also improved our employee engagement index. As for 2021, we have a positive outlook for the year, and we expect to deliver an adjusted EBITDA growth into the double digits, and we actually look very positively to the future. In 2020, it was definitely a year that tested us as new co-CEOs of the company, but we're very excited looking towards the future for the company. And with that, I will close my comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Geraldine, and thank you, Dimitri. And with that, I now handle the call back to the operator.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending. This concludes today's DSM call. You may now disconnect your line and have a very